everyone, it's Fox from Grapple Arcade on bbgwrestling.com, bringing you episode 7 of NWA Powerer. Now, as per usual, before we crack on with the episode, we'll do a little bit of a roundup of news circulating NWA leading up to and the immediate fallout after the episode took place. In some incredibly positive news, Billy Corgan, the NWA president, announced the new upcoming series, The Squared Circle. This sounds bloody fabulous. It's basically a series that's going to give opportunities to independent wrestlers and talents to show what they're worth and basically try and gain a contract for the NWA. It sounds wonderful. I know several wrestlers who are bang up for giving this a go, and I really can't wait to see this one take shape. It sounds a bit like a proving ground, if you like. A bit of it. Show us what you've got, show us what you're made of, and earn yourself a spot with the NWA roster. Now, not only will wrestlers be able to show what they're made of and put their money where their mouth is in the ring, they're also going to literally have to put the money where their mouth is and step onto the microphone podium beforehand and cut a promo, maybe talk a bit about themselves and why they deserve a spot. It sounds great. Can't wait for this to start. Now, unfortunately, associated to good news is sometimes some not so good news. We're not going to dwell too much of what we're about to mention here, but Jim Cornette has left NWA, and this is following some comments that he made during this episode. A lot of people were offended by what Jim had said on air. Several wrestlers have spoken up and also stated that it was in bad taste. The intrigue, however, now surrounds who's going to be stepping up. Who's going to be taking that place in commentary box? The reality is you've got an incredible announcer in Tom Marquez interviewing wrestlers alongside of Garley. However, NWA may decide that they want somebody with more of a proven track record, if you like. Somebody from the older generation. Somebody who has been around the block in wrestling in terms of commentary. Now, a name that sprang to my mind straight away was Mike Tenay. I think Mike would be fantastic as an announcer for NWA. People have also mentioned names such as Taz. I've seen Joey Styles' name banded around as well. We're going to have to wait and see. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. They may do something where Marquez and Garley take over the role and they get occasional special guests to join them. We don't know yet. We're going to have to wait and see what happens with that. But interesting times lie ahead, that's for sure. Now, without further ado, let's crack on. On to the main show. Marquez welcomes Nick Aldis. He's dressed in his ring gear, so that can mean only one thing. He's going to cut a promo. Yes, he's going to cut a promo first. And he basically addresses the fact that Marquez asks he needs to know about Camille. As we've come accustomed to with Nick Aldis, he basically says that her decision is her own. He's got no power over what she says or does. She's her own woman. She can do whatever she wants to do. If she decides to stay in the back, it's because she has decided to stay in the back. But he's not here to talk about that. He's here to talk about business. He says that he wants to have a match tonight. The title won't be on the line. It'll be simply an exhibition match. It won't be a tune-up match or anything like that because he doesn't want to discredit his opponent, who he then announces as Trevor Murdoch. Now, we could not be happier about that. We are big fans of Trevor on the show. Aldis points out that the fact that it's not a title match shouldn't matter. It's an exhibition match, not a tune-up match. And the reason why it's not a title match is because Trevor doesn't really deserve a title shot yet. He's been out of action a while. He's got to prove himself in the ring, according to Aldis. The fans weren't particularly pleased with that comment. Aldis then retorted with, "I can't say anything right, can I?" Well, that's what happens when you drop underhanded comments, mate. So, you know. Now, the match starts off very much like an exhibition match. Lots of arm bars and wrist locks and reversals. Fun to watch, both men keeping up with each other. Eventually, however, Aldis finds himself in a precarious situation where the rope is between his legs and Trevor Murdoch basically kicks the rope into his bollocks. Murdoch also hits his triage of body slams that we've seen in previous weeks. And he also hits his top rope bulldog finish. Goes for the pin. Unfortunately, Aldis gets his foot on the rope. Trevor climbs to the top rope again. It looks like he's going to go for another top rope bulldog. But unfortunately, this time he seems to fall off and land awkwardly. Aldis capitalizes really quickly and snaps on the cloverleaf for the win. I thoroughly enjoyed this match. Both wrestlers seemed to as well. They shook hands afterwards, both also paying respect to the late, great Harley Race. And Aldis also says to Murdoch, "You're a crafty bastard, but I respect you." Both men shake hands, and that was that. We then see the Rock and Roll Express join Marquez, come out with an incredible pop, as you'd expect. They say they're going to become the 9-time tag champions whilst they're in NWA this time around. Quick interview, here we are, bit of a hype. And that was that. They leave, they're gone. But instantaneously, Wildcard joined Marquez. I love it when Latimer is on one. He just comes out and says, "Rock and roll can kiss my ass." Marquez then throws in the curveball and asks what the situation is between him and Camille, to which Latimer just sheepishly replies with, "We're just friends." Bit like a teenager would when he's being rumbled. Now, I've thought this for the last couple of weeks, but I really think that these two remind me of the Eliminators from ECW fame, John Cronus and Perry Saturn. So the way they carry themselves, the kind of in-ring ability, the way that they perform, the way that they talk and look. Yeah, I can sort of see the Eliminators in them. I'm really interested to see what else they've got to offer as well. I really like what I've seen so far from them both. And I really think there's a lot more to come from these two. No matter how heavy the tag division may get and the kind of star-studded entertainment that we might see from the division going forward, I think that these two are going to hold their own and they stand out. I really like the look of them. Now, the show was sponsored by HighSpots.com this week, and you get Danny Deals doing an NWA-esque parody advert, but this time for a proper product, being HighSpots.com. After the advert, we see Colt Cabana join the commentary team, as he is here to watch the upcoming match between Ricky Starks and the Question Mark. Now, he's popped out here because Ricky Starks came up to him last week and said that he wants a shot at the title. Now, the Question Mark gets a crack and pop from the crowd. They are eating out the palm of his hand. They absolutely love him. Back and forth a bit. Ricky gets quite a good bit of offense in. But the match doesn't last that long until Aaron Stevens, who quit wrestling last week, let's remember, he runs out and attacks Starks. At that point, Starks is double teamed by the Question Mark and Aaron Stevens. The Question Mark does his signature devil horned throat thrust chop thingy-majig. Cabana then jumps out and makes the save, but the referee declares this match a no contest. Bit of a weird one why he's declared it a no contest when realistically he should have disqualified the Question Mark because of Stevens running. But no, it's a no contest. Interestingly, also linked to this is that when Stevens and the Question Mark are gloating at the end about their attack, Stevens is getting booed, but the Question Mark is being cheered. This leads into a typical Stevens playing on the fact and ensuring he gets the boos by holding his hands up. Question Mark holds his hands up, gets the cheers, and that goes backwards and forwards. A bit like the yes-no crack that he had last week and previous weeks with the crowd. Works a treat. We then hear an announcement that Stevens and the Question Mark are going to be facing Ricky Starks and Colt Cabana for later on tonight's main event. Well, it wouldn't be an episode of NWA Power without Eli Drake coming out to talk to you. He's got a bone to pick with a few people, including Anderson. Claims that Anderson makes his mouth go, but maybe that Anderson's passed his sell-by date. Anderson, on cue, walks out, talks positively and bigs up the NWA and its fan base, before saying that he's sick and tired of Eli Drake yapping on, nattering on every week, and tells Drake, "Let's fight now, let's get it done with, come on, let's get in the ring and fight." Drake responds by taking off his coat, signalling that he's up for the challenge. Anderson walks towards the ring, but Eli Drake Pearl Harbors him with a sneak attack. If fists and kicks weren't enough, he gets hold of a turnbuckle. A full-on metal turnbuckle from behind the announcer's table and batters Anderson with it. Bit harsh-like, gotta say. We then head in to the next match of the night, which sees Allison Kay and Ashley Vox versus Thunder Rosa and Marty Bell. Now, in a previous episode of Power, we see the alliance between Rosa and Bell. This week, they're tagging against the world champion Allison Kay and Ashley Vox. Vox and Bell start the match back and forth with lockups. Bell's a clear heel now, pulling hair and being a bit dastardly with her ways. Vox hits a standing senton and gets a two count, but Bell's able to turn the tables and tag in her partner Rosa. And as we've become accustomed to with Rosa, she's incredibly intense, on absolute fire, and she absolutely batters Vox while all the time staring and smirking at Kay. Brilliant. Vox is able to briefly turn it around with enough time to get the tag on Allison Kay, and now it's time. The moment we've been waiting for the last few weeks, Rosa and Kay squaring up in the ring. Kay initially gets the upper hand on Rosa, but Rosa's able to reverse it with a high single leg drop kick. She climbs the top, but Kay cuts her off and hits a superplex. Both down for the count, but both really, really well matched. It's really cool to see this because we've been waiting for ages now. Well, we haven't really. We've been waiting a couple of weeks. But it feels like ages. Both really intense and hard-hitting. It's great. And then, shock, Melina from WWE fame walks out. She looks fabulous. She completely distracts Allison Kay, due to which Rosa's able to pin her. She briefly carries on the beating after the match. Then we see it. The start of what looks like a new faction. Belle, Rosa and Melina hold hands and celebrate together in the ring. Following the match, we have another really weird Austin Idol Rehypnol-style kayfabe cocktail drink advert. I don't get this one, I'm not going to lie. It's a bit off. But once we come back from the break, we're going into it. The main event of the evening, where we're going to see Ricky Starks and Colt Cabana versus Aaron Stevens and the Question Mark. As we mentioned earlier on in the episode, that Starks and the Question Mark had their match ruled as a no contest due to a run-in from Stevens, Cabana made the save, and the tag teams have been announced. As Stevens and the Question Mark enter the arena, the crowd are clearly cheering massively for the Question Mark, and Stevens likes to take the glory for that by saying, "Thank you, but my name isn't the Question Mark." I love the fact that he's wrestling in jeans, a vest and a scarf as well. I'm so glad he didn't quit last week, Aaron. Now, the start of the match sees a game of cat and mouse as Starks chases Stevens around the ring. Stevens wants no part of it whatsoever. He constantly rolls in and out of the ring before finally making the tag to the Question Mark. Starks actually gets the better of the Question Mark at this point before making the quick tag to Cabana. Cabana then carries on the attack before the Question Mark's able to tag in Stevens, who is instantly hip-tossed by Cabana. Colt tags in Stark because everybody wants to see Stark give Stevens a good kicking, but Stevens is able to get up and run away again, playing another game of cat and mouse. Really frustrating for Starks. Stevens tags in the Question Mark, who then proceeds to give Starks loads of those really army karate chops, to which the crowd are completely loving. It's really odd, this match, because it's clear who the heels and the faces are, but the crowd absolutely love the Question Mark. Biggest pop of the night by far. Stevens then decides to moon the crowd, completely pulls his kicks down and shows them his ass. Nice one. Starks is able to hit his sling blade before tagging Cabana in, who carries on slapping Stevens about. This carries on until the Question Mark makes an entrance, and Starks manages to better him in order to try and remove his mask. Stevens, however, jumps back in and is able to stop Starks from taking the mask off. After a bit of back and forth, Question Mark is able to hit Starks with his Mongrovian spike thrust. Apparently that's what it's called, the Mongrovian spike thrust. At which point Starks is out for the count, but Stevens demands that the Question Mark tags him so that he can come in, get the pin and claim the victory, which is exactly what he does. Question Mark does the damage and Stevens gets the glory. The winners then join Marquez and Stevens proclaims that we did it. With the power of karate. Marquez is about to sign off for the night. He says his goodbyes and whatnot. But out of nowhere, James Storm appears. Now, we haven't seen Storm all show, so this is completely new. He hasn't got a bone to pick with anybody from something that's happened earlier on in the night. He's just appeared. He then decides to completely lay into Nick Aldis, saying that you claim to be a fighting champion, yet you're not putting your title on the line, and all you're doing is taking on wrestlers who don't matter. That was a bit harsh. He then turns his attention to the previous match that we've just had, which obviously involved Colt Cabana as the regional champion. He was obviously in a tag team that lost the match there, and James Storm decides to call it bullshit. He's not very happy, I think it's fair to say. He's a bit irked. But randomly, Camille comes out, whispers something in James Storm's ear. We're unable to pick up anything that's said. She walks away. He has a big grin on his face and then turns to Marquez and says, "Sorry about your damn luck," walks out. That's it. End credits. So many unanswered questions in this one. This has been one of the most interesting episodes to date, especially with that last bit there. Also, with the earlier segment between Marquez and Latimer, where Latimer says, "We're just friends." We don't really know what Camille's game is here. It's brilliant. It's by far one of the best storylines in wrestling at the moment, where we don't really have a bloody clue what's going on in her mind, where her allegiance lays. Is she sticking with Aldis? What's the crap between them? They're not really seen together anymore. Nick keeps saying she's her own woman. She can do what she wants to do. Then you've got Latimer. Then now you've got Storm being whispered. I don't know. It's confusing, but in a good way. I really want to know what the hell is going on here. Be tuning in for sure next week to find out. The feud's obviously building really nicely between Ricky Starks and Aaron Stevens as well. Cabana and the question mark pretty much playing wingmen tonight. Although question mark was by far the most over person on the show. Which is actually a lot harder than it sounds because there's a lot of very over people. The crowd are loving the show. The crowd are loving the wrestlers in front of them. It's just that the question mark's getting that extra pop, that extra bit of excitement in the air. I mean, the reality is it's a bit of a comedy element, isn't it? The fans are cheering them because it's encouraged to cheer the weirdo dressed as a question mark. That's the beauty of wrestling, isn't it? Eh? I don't know why, but after episode 7, I really want to see a three-way match between the question mark, Trevor Murdoch and Colt Cabana. I think that'll be a cracking match, especially if they put the regional title on the line as well. Cabana said he's going to be a fighting champion. He seems up for it. The question mark's incredibly over. Murdoch's really over as well, and I'd love to see him as the champion, man. In terms of a match of the night, all matches were good this week. Can't really count the initial match between Ricky Starks and question mark because it wasn't really a match. It was just an angle to set up the match later on in the night, which is absolutely fine with me. Which means that we only actually had three proper matches tonight. As I said before, all of them really fun matches to watch. I think, though, personally, I'm going to have to go with Alison Kay and Ashley Vox versus Thunder Rosa and Marty Bell. Bell and Vox put on more improved performances again. I know they're stepping up every week I see them at the moment. Alison Kay was great to see her in action because she hasn't featured since pretty much the beginning of the series. Thunder Rosa, as per usual, setting the world on fire, full of intensity, full of fire. Absolutely going for it, hard hitting. It's great to see Kay and Rosa facing up one-on-one in the ring at one point. And then, of course, the debut of Melina. We've got a new faction in the making by the looks of things. Spot on match, really enjoyed it. And that pretty much wraps it up from me for this week. You can catch us at Grapple Arcade on Twitter, at BBGWPod on Twitter, and at BBGWrestling on Twitter. You can also check out our other interviews, our other reviews, our general chats and pods, our interviews with legends such as Psycho Sid, with people like Austin Idol, who's obviously a member of the NWA roster, with people like Brian Pillman Jr., Ahmed Johnson, Savio Vega. There's loads of names and loads of interviews that you might want to check out. So get yourself over to bbgwrestling.com. Now we'll catch you all next week. Cheers.